Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 8. Last year, when we had our theme as Consider, we went through some of the great questions of the Bible, and there's a ton of them that we did not cover, and a few that I'm hoping this year we'll be able to look at, and as the Lord leads and the Lord guides. And this morning, there's a question that Jesus asks his disciples, and he does it in a kind of a rebuke. He says it in a way to try to grab a hold of their attention and show that there's something they need to change. And remember, when God asked us the question, he's not looking for knowledge. He already knows it. He already knows everything. Praise the Lord for that. What he's asking a question for is, number one, to teach whoever he's speaking to something about himself, talking about God. He asks man a question to teach man something about God, or to teach man something about himself. But most of the time, he's asking a question to teach him something about God and also something about himself. And this morning in the story, you're going to see Jesus ask this question that I think is really appropriate in the day and time that we live in, is where is your faith? Where is your faith? He's looking at the disciples, and they become very fearful out in the storm, and they become worried. They think they're getting ready to perish. They think they're getting ready to die. And they wake him up, and he asks him this question after he calms the storm, where is your faith? And I think sometimes in the storms of life that you're having and the things that you're going through, I look at people and I see people, and even in my own life, and I'm asked this question, oh, where's your faith? I've sat in the upstairs before, inside hallways, listening to people that are overwhelmed and that they're worrying. And then I ask them a question. I'm not trying to be mean. It's the same thing I ask myself. Where does your faith involve in all this? How does your faith involve in the equation? You say, oh, no, Pastor, you don't realize. I have faith in God. I believe the Bible, but this is my problem. And they begin rehearsing the same problem over. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. And where do you put your faith in the equation? Where is your faith at? If you believe that there's God and you believe that God can do all things, then that should answer a lot of the problems. That should take away that worrying. So this morning, I'd like to think about this thought a little bit about where is your faith. It is a short passage of Scripture, but I can't promise you it's going to be a short message. We'll see how the Lord leads. Luke chapter number 8, I'm going to start off in verse number 22. It says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. So I want you to see specifically, Jesus told them to do something. He told them they were going to make it to the other side. He said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Doesn't say let us go into the lake and die in a storm. He had told him something, that we're going to make it to the other side. And God's word is really important. The promises of God. When you're facing a storm, you got to remember what God says. And it continues on. And he says, and they launched forth. So they obeyed when the storm was not there. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And Jesus here is tired, he exhausted from the ministry. He was all God, but he was all man. And here he's seen times when he was tired, sometimes when he was hungry. He's tired, he falls asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. Now this is the Sea of Galilee. If you know anything about the geography or geographical location, storms could come very quickly on the location. And that's what happens here. It says a storm on the wind of the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. There was a problem. Their ship was taking on water, and there was a serious issue. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. I said, well, what's wrong? They go, they got a problem. They ask Jesus. They already tell him what's going to happen. They're not going to the Lord and saying, we have this problem, Lord. We need your help. Instead, they're saying, we got this problem, and they don't even think you can help. We got this problem. He said, no, they wouldn't believe that. What, isn't that how we act? When we lose our faith, when things are going on and problems are happening in our life, God, I got this huge issue. I still have my faith in God. I still have my faith in the Bible. But where's your faith in the equation? If you have faith, it's got to be in there. The insert's got to be there. Okay, all these things are happening wrong. All these things are going bad. There's water coming in the boat. There's an issue. There's a problem. Obviously, God does not care if you go to him. It's just, where's your faith in this? Wakes him up and say, hey, we've seen you do all these other miracles in the past. Can you please help us today? We realize we can't do it ourselves. We need you. Now, you remember inside the group of disciples, there were skilled fishermen. People that probably knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. They were someone who able to do their task and do it well and knew all this. This storm had come up upon them, and they come to Christ, and they says, "Oh, we're gone. We're dead. We're goners. Everything we've learned, everything we've taught, it's all you yourself. It's gone." What happened there? They didn't have faith. The storm came just as they had faced other storms already, but the storm had come. And they forgot their faith. Let's keep on going. And it says, "Master, we perish." Then he arose, speaking about Jesus, and rebuked the wind. Now, if you use this word rebuke, it's often the same word that Jesus would use when rebuking the demons that were possessing people. Many people believe, most commentators believe, that this, you know, Satan being the prince and the power of the air was behind this storm. I mean, what better way to get rid of Jesus but drowning him? And so he rebukes the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. I mean, I know I enjoy watching a storm come and watching a storm go, but usually there's signs of it coming, and there's usually signs of it going. It lasts for a little while. But can you imagine? The waters are so high, it's getting into the boat. The winds are so great, and then Jesus goes up there and rebukes it, and it stops just like that. That would have been impressive to see. I mean, you can imagine everything happening, and everything calms. What an image. But that's what God can do. Let's keep on going. "And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth the winds and the water, and they obey him." I don't know about you, but the power he has over nature is amazing. It's just like the power he has over sin. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today seeking for your help, in need of your help. Lord, we need you today. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, speak to our hearts about where our faith is at. Lord, are we trusting in you, or are we trusting in man? Are we trusting in you to take care of things, or trusting in our own resources? Lord, as we live our lives and we think about some of our own spiritual disciplines, we ask this question. I wonder how many times you would ask this question to us. Where is your faith? Lord, speak to our hearts today. Lord, speak to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you go through and do a study about the word faith in the Bible, it's really cool. Some of the great sayings of the Bible have been said. I think about the one in the Old Testament that says, the just shall live by faith. I know it's repeated also later on in the Bible. But I want to share with you some of the great quotes of the Bible that use the word faith or faithful in the New Testament, actually just the Gospels, because if we went through all of them, we'd be here for a long time. But some of these will remind you some of the great stories. There is the one that says, O ye of little faith. It continues on. Jesus said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy. Jesus also said, Be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. According to your faith, be it unto you. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Speaking to the religious leaders of the day, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Faithless. Not only was, I believe that was dealing with the son, the man who brought his impotent son, or brought a son that was demon-possessed. And he also taught, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. He also says, if you have faith. If you have faith, have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. I like this one. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. How is it that you have no faith? Jesus answering and said unto them, Have faith in God. Man, what a great way to counsel somebody or tell somebody. Have faith in God. What does that mean? Just have faith in God. It continues on. If therefore ye had not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit thee to trust with the true riches? The apostles also said, increase our faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's the only time that faith is mentioned, at least in my study, in the book of John, is when he says, be faithless, but not be not faithless, but believing. Over and over in the Gospels. And there was many more, many of them repeats. I'm wondering if maybe we should this morning say, Lord, increase our faith. We have faith, but there's probably areas of our life we're not acting like we have faith in. And I like to look in, and probably a little while until we get towards the end of the message, when it comes to certain spots, would God look at certain areas of your life and says, where's your faith when it comes to this? But we'll get there in a second. Let's first dissect this passage a little bit. The first thing I want you to see here is the problem. The problem. You say, well, I know what the problem is. The problem is the storm. Well, you know what? Jesus doesn't get mad at the storm. You know who he rebukes the storm? Yes. He's not worried about the storm. He's not bothered by the storm. You know who he rebukes? You know who he's worried about or gives it? He rebukes and says, where is thy faith to the disciples? The storm doesn't bother him. The storm is something he can handle. And the same thing, I know he's God. He can do whatever he wants with the disciples, but he's trying to teach him something. He's not overly concerned about the storm. He takes care of it just like that. But he's teaching the disciples over and over. The problem was twofold. Number one, they didn't remember his word. They didn't remember his word. If you go back and look at verse number 22, Jesus says, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launch forth. They didn't remember that Jesus said, hey, let's go over somewhere else. See, I believe our faith really, truly wavers. It wavers when we do not remember his word. When we do not spend time reminding himself, when we're not in his word, when we're not meditating in it. If you really, truly want to build your faith, it's going to have to happen this way. It's going to happen with the word of God. It's going to happen with the Bible. It's going to happen when, as we learn and as we read and as we study, as we hear it. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If we're going to build our faith, it's going to have to include the word of God. And the disciples made this mistake. They forgot what Jesus had said. If they would have remembered that Jesus said, we're going over to the other side of the lake, yes, they may have woke him up. Yes, they may have helped him, but they weren't going to come and say, Jesus, we're not going to make it. Because what is that? They're forgetting what God said. If God said it, he's going to do it. And that's the truth that's found in the word. If he's promised you, he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Guess what? He's never going to leave you or forsake you. If he's promised you, he's going to meet your needs. Guess what? He's going to meet your needs. And sometimes we think that we're out on a boat all by ourselves in a storm. Everyone's forgotten about us, and we've forgotten God's word, and there's nothing we can do. But you have a God that's given you promise after promise after promise, and our faith wavers. We lose our faith when we stop forgetting what God says or applying what God has said in our lives. We might know it. We might be able even to quote it. But have we taken that and we applied it? I've had people who love the Lord that says to me, and they're so worried and scared and upset about something, and I say, where does your faith figure out in all that? And they said, what does faith have to do with it? It has everything to do with your life. Where is your faith in those areas of your life that you're struggling at? Are you remembering what God's word says? Well, that doesn't apply. That promise doesn't count there. That counts for everybody else, but not me. It counts for you. Remember what God's word says. Not only did they not remember his word, they did not remember his presence. Did not remember his presence. I enjoyed the book of Luke a number of years ago. We went through the book of Luke. You go back and you read the story of Luke, and I believe it's probably the best chronological study that we have that's given. Different ones or different gospels have different parts, but chronologically, they do the best job. You go read chapters, verses 1 through 7. You know what disciples saw? Disciples saw amazing things. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. They saw God work in supernatural ways. They forgot who was in the boat. They forgot that Jesus was in the boat. There was nothing wrong with saying, hey, Jesus, we're worried, we're concerned. Jesus, can you help us out with this storm? The water's coming in. What should we do? And that's what God wants us to do in the storm. He wants us to say, hey, Lord, what is it you're teaching me? What is it that you want me to do? What is it, how you want me to go? He doesn't want you to lose your faith. He wants you to remember that he's promised you, that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is with you in the storm. It appears at that moment of fear, they forget that there is a miracle worker on boat with them. See, there is so much joy and safety that is found in the presence of Jesus. In the presence of the Lord, there is joy and there is safety. Think about what it says in Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What the Bible is saying is that in thy presence is the fullness of joy. When we know the Lord is with us, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be able to handle it. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. So well, even in the boat? Yes, even in the boat, because we know the Lord's going to deliver us. He's told us we're going to get to the other side of the lake, and I can have joy. It doesn't have to rob me of my joy. Don't let our lack of faith rob us of your joy. Don't let other people rob your joy. Remember that you're always in the presence of the Lord, and live consciously in his presence. One person said it this way: the storm that day was another chance for Jesus to show his supernatural power yet again. Another man put it this way: man's extremity is God's opportunity. So when man is at its extreme, God can work. That's when God can work. I want to encourage you today. What the problem was is that the disciples here, even though they had skilled fishermen, they were fearful and they were forgetting what the Lord had said, and they forgot the Lord was with them. Where's your faith when it comes to certain areas of your life? Are you forgetting that God's promised you if you'll go, he'll go with you? Are you forgetting that he has promised to fill you if you ask? Are you forgetting those things? Are you forgetting his presence? Second thing is not only the problem, I want you to see the power. The power. You listen to what it says in verse 24, and they awake and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. They're afraid. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. You know what? There is a power that we have with God, and that's the power over fear. Faith can overcome fear. And that's where the issue is. There's a problem there, and the problem is the fact that they are fearful. But with Christ, we can have power over fear. With him, he's not given us a spirit of fear. We can have power over fear. Today, I don't know what you're afraid of. Today, I don't know, when we think about and look at things in your life, where is your faith when it comes to soul winning? Where is your faith when it comes to giving? Where is your faith when it comes to service? Where is your faith when it comes to reading the Bible? It says, Pastor, what are you talking about? Do we truly believe and trust that God can work? Is that why we've come to church today? Because we're looking to hear from God. Do we believe by faith that even though it's Pastor Pease preaching, that God can speak to my heart because it's his word? Do we believe that when we give, that God can take that little and make it something much? Do we believe that as I give out a gospel tract, that God can work? Where is your faith when it comes to your Christian life? Because when we choose to leave out certain portions, it's not because of the fact that we're, and not as much as that we're lazy or we become indifferent. It's the fact that I don't have the faith that God's going to work. Why don't I read my Bible? It's because I don't get anything out of it. Where's your faith? Why don't we pray? It's because I don't really think it's going to make a difference. Where's your faith? It's a power over fear, but also in this passage you see a power over nature. It's amazing if you consider the storms that are going there. And it's amazing that he says, and it says he rebuked the wind in verse 24, and the raging of the water, and they cease, and there was a calm. And in verse number 25, it goes and says at the end, he says, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waters to obey him. They got a new glimpse of God. They saw him in a different light. They had seen him heal. They had seen him do many other things. But they were amazed once again because of the fact that he was able to control the nature. When's the last time you were amazed by God because he did something in your life? I mean, really, when's the last time God answered your prayer, you knew he answered your prayer, you took a step of faith and you saw him work, you see him working, and when's the last time you've been amazed by God? I know we talk about the singing. I know we talk about talking at one another. And I know we read the stories of the Bible. When's the last time, personally, you've seen God do something in your life and say, that had to be God? Many times we're missing that today. It's because we forget his words and we forget his presence. And because we're lacking in faith, we don't yearn for what God can do. We settle for what we can accomplish. And it becomes something that is very mundane in our own Christian life. The disciples see something, they learn something, and they're not going to make this mistake again when they see that the winds and the waters, they actually obey him. Another passage of scripture, similar story. They come to Jesus and they wake him up, and many of the commentators believe it's the exact same story. And the disciple says, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And that's an interesting question to ask Jesus. Why was Jesus even there? He came to this world to die for the sin of mankind. Why? Because he does care. But the disciples didn't understand who Jesus was, and they were saying, "Don't you care that we perish?" And the answer is yes, of course he does. But you don't realize who God is. And sometimes we're in the midst of our trial, and we're in the midst of our problem, and we're asking God this question, "God, don't you even care?" And it's a silly question. But of course he cares. "What are you trying to teach me, Lord? Show me what it is that you're doing through this so I can learn that not only do you have power over fear and power over nature, you have power over the things that are going on in my life that seem like they're spinning out of control." Third thing I want you to think about, not only was this the problem and the power, I want you to think about the purpose. I think everything happens for a reason. I think God allows things sometimes to happen in our lives. I think God causes things to happen in their life. The first reason I think about is here he is, I believe the devil is behind the storm, but God uses the storm to teach him a lesson about their faith. He looks at him and says, "Where is your faith? Had you not seen this happen? Have you not seen this happen? Have you not seen what it was done with the feeding of the however many thousand at the time? Where is your faith at? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so worried? Why is this fear overcoming you? Why have you allowed this to stop you believing that I am able to do all things?" And I think sometimes when he looks into the problems of our life and he brings these things in our life to show us something, you lack faith. You need to pray and say, "Lord, increase my faith. Lord, you've allowed this to happen in my life to show me I'm dependent upon you and that I need to trust in you. And I can't trust in myself, and I can't trust in my own works, and I can't trust in man. I need you, Lord, and I depended upon you." And the Lord's saying, "Where's your faith? Why is this taking you in such of a tailspin? Why has this caused you to stop serving and stop listening and stop coming to church and stop doing the things you know? Where is your faith?" I think sometimes in the day and time we live in with some of the things that are happening in our life, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's protesting or whether it's the uncertainty in Washington, D.C. or whether it's what's happening in Israel, whether it's what all those different things are happening and what's causing, where is your faith in these areas? Not only is it a teaching moment, but it's also another moment where he reveals his deity. He's teaching his disciples something. And later on in this chapter, they're on it's in the Sea of Galilee, but it's also called the Lake of Gadara. They're getting ready to meet the maniac of Gadara. Remember the guy who went from being a maniac to a missionary? And God's going to do something great there, and he's preparing them. Hey, if God can control nature, God can control this guy too. And sometimes when God brings something in our life, he's revealing his deity. As you depend on him, as you trust on him, it's going to build your faith, and it's going to continue to build your faith to the point that God's going to be able to use you the way he chooses to use you, the way he wants to use you. Where's your faith at? I alluded to a little bit earlier, and we're going to continue on thinking about some of these things and bring up different things in our lives that I think some of us struggle with. And the question is, where is your faith? First one, it's our Bible. I know sometimes we don't read our Bibles like we should. We are told to read our Bibles. We are told to study our Bibles. We are told to meditate on our Bibles, not just meditate, to meditate day and night. We are told to memorize our Bibles. We are told our Bible is a living book. We are told that it divides. We are told the Bible is the book that can change our lives. So why don't we read it? And there's the question is, where is your faith? "Pastor, I'm busy." Don't you think that could help your life? Maybe make it less stressful, less busy? Where is your faith? If you're not reading your Bible, is it because you don't believe it? If you really believe that this had the answers that it says it has and that God can work through it like he says he can, is it really a problem with the fact that it's written in a way that maybe you don't understand it easily? That's why the Bible study says study to show thyself. Or is it the fact that you have a lack of faith? What about your prayer life? He tells us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to cast our cares upon him. Verse after verse after verse about prayers and about promises and prayers. Reality is, in our prayer life, many of us could write on, God could write on it, where is your faith? Because if you truly believe that I could answer that prayer, you'd be at the altar. You'd be on your knees. You'd be continually bringing it before me. Where is your faith? The problem isn't the fact that God cannot hear and that God will not hear. The problem is that sometimes in our life, we've forgotten his word and we've forgotten his presence. And we've let the fears of this world overcome us. And we just say, I don't even know if God hears me. I've heard people say that. He says, well, where's your faith at in that equation? He's told us he'll hear you. He's told us that he will promise. He has answered. He says, call on me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But the question is, where's your faith when it comes to your prayer life? I see Jesus sleeping. He's tired. And the storm comes on. The devil is fighting. The devil is attacking. And he comes on seeing Jesus, takes care of the storm. And he looks at them and he says, where is your faith? I wonder if, what do we say that when it comes to our soul winning? I know that's a sensitive subject. We've all been told to go into all the world to express the gospel, share the gospel, tell other people about it. Why don't we go? I'm afraid. I think you would write, where is your faith? I don't think it's going to make a difference. Where is your faith? Would God ask you to do something that wouldn't make a difference? Well, all those questions that could be answered is, do you believe in God? Because if not, it's a faith issue. You think about our forgiving somebody. Oh, Pastor, you're wrong there. No. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. If you got a problem with somebody, you go to them. If they have a problem, if you think somebody has a problem with you, you go to them. Why don't we do those things? When someone comes to me with an issue or a problem, I will ask the question, have you gone to them? He said, well, you just don't understand. I can't. And I said, where's your faith? Well, can't you talk to them? And once again, I'm willing to, and I'm willing to go, but what is the scripture? What is it going to give God a chance to work? What is the answer that says, okay, God, I'm putting this in your hands, not the pastor's hands, not somebody else's hands? Where's your faith when it comes to forgiveness? Where's your faith when it comes to relationships, on how the Bible specifically tells a husband how to treat their wife and a wife how to treat their husband and how they're supposed to raise their kids and specifically says how the children are supposed to treat their parents and there's relationship after relationship in there when it comes to government, when it comes to church friendship relationships, when it comes to church pastors. You know, there's step after step, and we choose not to believe in those things. And I think the thing would be, where is your faith? You say, Pastor, times have changed. Men treat women differently, and women treat men differently. And the question is, where is your faith? Kids act differently. Kids have different... No. Where is your faith at? Because your faith isn't found in this. Because this hasn't changed, and hasn't. God is not going to change. So, you know, I think the fishermen on the boat probably thought they were fine. But I didn't think they were going to need Jesus. But after a while, they realized, without him, I can't do anything. So when we consider these areas of our life, when it comes to sin in our lives, where is our faith? What do you mean? There are sometimes we've gotten so cozy with sin that we don't even call it sin anymore. We can continue to live in a certain sin and continue on doing and seeing that we do nothing wrong. It's because we have no faith in believing what the Bible says about it. How about our finances? You know, some preachers preach about money all the time. That's not me. I talk about it when it comes up, and I don't shy away from it, but at the same time, I try to preach what I think God wants me to do. But finances. If God looked at your checkbook, would he write, where's your faith at? We're not just talking about a tithe, which I believe is a command of the Lord, offerings and things like that. I just want you to be sensitive to what God wants you to do. I don't want it to be what I do, because I don't know your plan. I don't know your pocketbook. I don't want you to listen to me, per se. I want you to listen to God. Yes, follow after those that are following after the Lord. I understand all that, and the encouragement that God lays upon our heart to share certain needs with us. I understand all that. I want you to hear. When we have mission conference, I don't want you to hear from the speaker as much as I want the Lord to speak to your heart. I want you to follow after the Lord. And yes, there's commandments in the Bible. I know the Lord's not going to go against those commandments. But at the same time, in your checkbook, would God say, where is your faith? How about your faithfulness to church? And I know that's a tough one sometimes for certain people too. When we come into a church building, do we have the faith that God can work? Now, I know we're here, and I know you said, Pastor, you should be preaching to everybody that's not here, and there might be some that are watching. You know, but where's your faith? Most of us have had God work in our hearts in a church service. Most might even say, I got born again in a church service. Many would say, yes, I know. Do you believe that God can work? Are you coming anticipating that God is going to work? Are you excited about the scriptures? Are you reading them along? Are you doing what you can to get out? I mean, did you come into church to get in or to get out? Are you leaving? And I know sometimes people have to use the bathroom, but I get that. But at the same time, it seems like some people do whatever they can to get out of being in the church service. Where's your faith? Oh, the pastor's long-winded, or the pastor's boring, or this or that. It's the word of God. Where's your faith? Is God can work. God can move. But people don't even want to be a part of a service, don't want to be. God can work, and God can move. Where is your faith? This morning, I want the message to be an encouragement to you, because I know when I read it and I read through the passages of Scripture, I had spoke to my heart about a couple of different areas that, you know, the things I could do better at. And it's, where is your faith? Do you believe that God can move? Do you believe God can do something? Or are you just living according to your own plans and purposes? Now, here's the next thing is, and we'll finish with this. Their faith was in something else. And sometimes people have different belief systems and faith systems and what they believe is going to get them to heaven. There are people that out there that believe that they do enough of a certain good deed that will get them to heaven. Where's your faith this morning when it comes to salvation? What is getting you to heaven? Well, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You can have your faith in wrong things. I believe that those sailors that day had faith in their own abilities. I believe that sailors had a faith inside their own ship until they came to the realization that there was nothing that could save them but Jesus. And they went and woke him up and didn't even realize that that's what they needed was him. I tell you, the Bible teaches the same truth when it comes to salvation. There might be a lot of things that we are trusting in, but nothing will get you to heaven without Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you might not even realize you need him, but it's the scriptures that open up our hearts and show us that we're all sinners and in need of a Savior. And that sin has caused us to be eternally separated from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is your faith when it comes to salvation? Are you trusting in your good works? Are you trusting in a different God? Are you trusting in something else? The Bible says there's only one way to heaven. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this morning, have you ever called upon him? Have you ever recognized yourself that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior? And as you cried out and said, I know that I'm lost and I'm in need of that Savior. I know that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again to pay my sin debt for me. If you've never done that, let me encourage you. Where's your faith at? Because the only faith that's going to work, the only faith that is sufficient, is that those that are trusting and believing in what Jesus Christ did. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you do the work that I can't do. I pray that you do only what you can do. And Lord, that is speak to the people's hearts spiritually. The Holy Spirit of God will encourage and motivate them to see the parts of their life that they're lacking in faith. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about believing, trusting. Lord, I pray that there's someone here today that does not have faith in you for salvation, they would get that right today. Thankful, Lord, for the fact that you don't throw us away and that you're willing to continue to ask us questions so we can learn about you and learn about ourselves. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts about specific areas of our life and ask us that question where we need to hear it. Where is your faith? In Jesus' name, amen.